Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. I can tell that you put your clocks ahead an hour, or otherwise you would be late, unless you're late for Sunday school. Dave and I served a church in Southern California, and I remember this same Sunday we were in worship, and we were singing the final hymn. I was in the choir so I could see out, and one of our active members came in thinking it was the opening hymn and picked up a hymnal and began to sing. We closed our hymnals, Dave pronounced the benediction, and everybody started to leave, and I will still remember the look on his face. Like, what happened? He forgot to turn his clocks back. I'm glad all of you remembered. But also, it's good to be together today, because last Sunday we were snowed out again, and that was the second time in 2 months that we had been snowed out. And so I'm glad that we're together today in worship. And because both of those Sundays that we were snowed out, we have not had communion. And so today we will be participating in communion together. And I hope that we can say, because of this day, we are glad to be in the house of the Lord.
Join me in the call to worship printed on the insert in your bulletin. This is the season of Lent.
Season to remember that to follow Christ is to be servants of all.
A season to ask ourselves how we, like Simon the Cyrene, might help bear the cross.
A season to ask ourselves how we, like Peter, are praying.
A season to ask ourselves what we, like the woman with the fine ointment, have to offer.
A season
to proclaim with Mary Magdalene that Christ is not dead, but alive. Please turn in your hymnal to song 466, God of Grace.
Thank you.
God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. We come before you, Lord, as your called people. We thank you for this hour and for this place where we can come to worship you and lift up our praises to you. Be with us that we may hear your still small voice speaking to each one of us this morning. Help us to be encouraged in our walk with you and to be strengthened to be your people in the world that you send us and have called us to. Bless our time together so that when we leave, we may be able to say, surely the Lord was in this place. We ask this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lots of things happening in the life of our church. You have your bulletin. There's many announcements today. I want to highlight a few. Today is Change for Change Sunday. We changed our clocks, and you were asked to bring your loose change. I hope you've been collecting it over the last few weeks. We did this in the fall also. And during the greeting time, you'll have a chance to, as you're greeting one another, to come forward and put your change in the little bucket bin here. And this will go to help with lunches, summer school lunches during the summer right here in Delaware, and also particularly for their weekend lunches. If you forgot or want to bring it again next week, feel free to do that. Just mark it so that we know that it's for the Change for Change. Our March mission emphasis is the America for Christ offering. You see an insert in the bulletin about that. We're taking this up all this month. You'll be hearing more about that. But this is really the offering that stays here in the United States that helps in a variety of ways. It helps in discipleship and in training, but also helps in some of the efforts when there's problems here in the United States, money goes for that. So it's a very important offering. Our goal is $700. That's our goal for each of the American Baptist offerings this year. It's an increase from last year, but you are a faithful and giving people, so I know we can make it. There's also some of these little boxes that the kids can take them, but if any adults wants to take them, you want to keep putting your change in one of these, and we will dedicate this offering the last Sunday of March. That's the America for Christ offering. This afternoon at 2:30, you are all invited to a very special meeting. We're beginning to talk and form a mission and outreach team. And this will be an umbrella that will house several things, missions and visitor follow-up and outreach. And so today we're really having a second meeting for those that are interested to really talk about that and fashion that, about how we move ahead in each of those areas. So we'll meet in the fellowship hall at 2:30 this afternoon. Come. If you have an interest, would like to hear more about it, and we will discuss that and move ahead. The Marian Association Celebration Banquet is on April 10th, but the reservations are the deadline is next Sunday. You need to make your checks payable to the church, and they're $13 for adults. This is a great time to be together in the Association of American Baptist and Marian Association and get together for fellowship and inspiration. save the date again because we had to cancel our workshop with Jeff Woods last month, but he's able to come on March 28th, and so it will be same time, same place, down the Fellowship Hall from 9 to 12. A very important workshop to be involved in as we talk about church health and growth, and Jeff will be bringing his area of expertise in that and be sharing with us some very important information and research and facts, but also as we it will help us as we look ahead to our ministry in the future as well as calling a new pastor. We have been helping the Donegan family over the last few weeks. They were the family that lost a child when a fire swept through their mobile home. And we did send $200 at least after the first week. Also, our youth, and I want to highlight this. When they met 2 weeks ago, they tied some blankets. For those of you that know anything about that, they put together some fleece blankets. And one of those blankets went to the child that was left in that family. And so I want to thank the youth group for doing that. It was our way of showing our support. This is someone in our Marian Association, a relative of hers, and so we're really supporting them in that. If you want to continue to give to the Donegan family, please note that on any check that you give. Speaking of the youth, they are meeting tonight at 6 o'clock in the youth room, so please come to that. The Women's Fellowship will meet again this coming Saturday at Bueller's for a time of breakfast and fellowship, so be there at 9 o'clock. Also, you can sign up on the yellow Get Connected slip for the Marian Association banquet and for the women's breakfast. Our Lenten Bible study continues this Tuesday. We're looking at the betrayal and arrest of Jesus this week. I'm going to ask Claire to come up and give us an announcement, and I will follow up with it.
Hayes High School is getting ready to do our production of Footloose the Musical. It's coming up March 19th, 20th, and 21st. The performances will be at 7:30 in the evening, and there is a matinee at 2 on Saturday the 21st. Tickets are $10 for adults and $8 for students and seniors. I play a pretty big role in this one, so I would love to see all of you there. Thank you so much.
How about the lead role? And we want to support our youth anytime they are in anything like this. And so if you are interested, I think you said their tickets are on sale all this week. You can call the school. But talking about seniors, a group got together of our senior adults, 50 plus, we'll say, and we have kind of reestablished a group, a fellowship group for that. And it's going to be called the OWLS, Older, Wiser, Still Learning Still. And so as their first activity together, they're going to go to see Footloose. We're going to meet Thursday night at Bueller's for dinner at 5:15, and then we'll be going to the opening night of Footloose. I do have tickets right here. They are $8 for seniors, and you make your checks payable to Randy Turner because they've already laid out the money for this. So please let me know today or next week if you would like one of these, and that senior group will meet on the 19th to go out to dinner and go to Footloose. But anybody else that wants to go, please go and support Claire in this. The April newsletter deadline is next Sunday. That's a week earlier than usual, but we want to be able to get all of Holy Week into that information, into that newsletter. So if you have anything for that newsletter, please get it to Jim by next week. We've got a nice little card that I will put up on the bulletin board from Rick Van Brimmer and his two sisters, Karen and Susie, thanking the church for the flowers that they sent for Bertha's memorial service, and they really appreciated that because they grew up in this church, and so that was very thoughtful of the church to do that. Let's greet one another in the Lord now. And Larry, excuse me, I forgot he had one. So many announcements are exciting.
Just a couple of quick items. Follow-up, the Pastoral Search Committee made a successful trip to Indiana last week and got back before the storm. It was a little overwhelming, but very productive. We had an opportunity to interview 10 candidates for pastor, and we're continuing to follow up with a number of them and continuing the conversation. I would ask your indulgence. This process is required to be confidential, so please don't press me for details about any of the candidates. In due time, as we focus on one and present them to your to the congregation, and then that'll be the detail at that time. Shift gears for a moment. Annually, First Baptist Church, we're a corporation, and annually we're supposed to name our corporate officers. Oops, I missed that in the January meeting. Next Sunday, right after worship, as worship concludes, we'd invite people forward in just a 5-minute meeting, because all we have to do as an executive group then for the corporation is elect our corporate officers, and there's three, and I'll tell you the candidates in advance. They've been chairman of the deacons, the moderator, and the assistant moderator. So we'll be presenting Jerry Palmer, Randy Turner, and myself as the corporate officers, and we just need that election next Sunday after worship. Thank you.
Continue to be lifting up our search committee. It's an exciting time in the process now, and we want to be praying for them as well as the person that God has chosen. Now we will greet one another in the name of the Lord, and during this time, come and bring your change for change and put it in here. When you hear Mary Lou play, please go back to your seats. Greet one another. Our hymnals to number 461. The title of the hymn is Rise Up, O Men of God, and I'm not one to usually change words in hymns, but I'd like us to sing Rise Up, O Church of God, and that will be more inclusive of all of us. But it's a great hymn that challenges us. So number 461, Rise Up, O Church of God. Thank you. You may be seated. We have our blue prayer list in the bulletin. It's actually the one from 2 weeks ago. So we want to be updating some things. There is an update on this one, however, and that is we were praying for Chad's grandmother, who was very ill and in hospice, and she did pass away. And so we want to be praying for Pat, and particularly for Chad, who really took it hard. So please be in prayer for them. Larry has the mic. If you have any updates or additions to this or praises, please raise your hand and we will add it to our list today. Oh, Jean.
I'd like continued prayer for my son, John. He starts treatment on the 23rd for stage 3 cancer.
Stage 3 cancer, John starts treatment. Definitely want to be lifting him up and Eugene, too. All right, anyone else? Debbie.
Our state conservationist suddenly lost his daughter down in Athens this past week. And if you could just pray for his family. She had, it's Terry Crosby, his wife Brenda, and parents, and there's another brother that are surviving. But she was so young, it was just sudden and unexpected.
This is a state conservationist.
Yes.
Lost his daughter. How old was she?
She was only in her early 20s.
Early 20s. Very sudden. So we want to be lifting up. And his name?
Terry Kosky.
All right. I'll try to remember that. All right. We want to be praying. That's always difficult when you lose a child, no matter what age. Any others? I got an email a week or so ago from Jane Moore. She and Jim were on their way. I should call her Jane Snyder now. They were on their way to Arizona, and they got stuck in one of the ice storms in Oklahoma for a few days. But Jim got an email from his son that his daughter-in-law thought she might have colon cancer, and so they were lifting up prayer. And within a half an hour, she sent me another text to say that the doctor had called back and said he was pretty sure that it was benign. So the prayer was answered within a half an hour, so we want to lift that up as a praise. I haven't heard any more, so I assume that all is still good. Yes.
She had surgery.
Praise the Lord. They have removed it, and so that is a definite praise. Did you know her name, Randy?
Marty.
And that's now Jane Moore Snyder's new daughter-in-law. Lives, I believe, in Pennsylvania. Some of you who are on Facebook may have seen in the last week or so there was a big thing about a dress that some people looked at it and saw white and gold, and some people would look at that same dress, the picture of the dress, and see black and blue. And so there was a big thing. Everybody was posting it. Everybody was talking about it. And I had a friend who posted it and said, while all of America is talking about what color this dress is, 220 Christians were kidnapped by ISIS in Syria that same week, within days of that. We have to get our priorities and our perspectives right, and we want to be continuing to pray for these who are being kidnapped and who are being martyred for the Lord. And so we want to continue to lift up Syria. I'd also like to lift up the Czech Republic today. This past week, a man opened fire in a restaurant, killing himself and 8 other people. And that country was reeling from that because it's not something that they see very often in that small country. Many others on our prayer list, many things on your hearts, unspoken requests. We want to take all of this to the Lord in prayer. We'll have a moment of silent prayer, and then Randy's going to come this morning and lead us in our prayers for the community.
And we take to the Lord whatever is on our hearts. God of glory, our Creator, our Sustainer.
our help when all else is gone. We come to you this morning with the prayers of our fellowship, with our concerns, with our celebrations. We pray for John and for his family as they face this challenge with him. We pray for the Kosky family at the loss of a daughter and pray that you would help them learn to come to terms with that. That's not something you ever get over, Lord. We know that, but we pray that they would feel your presence with them and that they would be able to come to terms with that loss. We praise you for the news from Marty as she had successful surgery and has found that the tumor was benign and that she will be able to continue with her life normally. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world as we learn of Christians who are kidnapped in Syria and who continue to be martyred for their faith. We pray for those in the Czech Republic who lost family members and friends. We pray for our community as we struggle to try to meet the needs that we find around us. And as we were talking in Sunday school this morning, Father, we praise you for the many things that are happening and right here in Delaware County and for the many people who are being served. But Father, the need is staggering and we realize that no matter what we do, that we are only serving a part of what could be done. But we pray that we would not lose hope and that we would continue to do that which we can. And that we would fill those needs where we see them and that we would continue to be your people and follow your leading in this place. We praise you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us and for our ability to enjoy them and for our ability then to bless others. We pray, Father, that we would continue to feel that responsibility. That we would be able to take what you have given us and share it with others, recognizing that you are not a God to keep to ourselves, but you are a God to be shared and a God to be glorified through doing your will here on earth. We just pray now that as we worship you, that you continue to feel your presence in this place. And that as we go out into the community after this worship service, that we would take your presence with us. And that all who see us might recognize it within us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we come to a time of offerings and tithes, I'd ask the ushers to please come forward. And as they're coming forward, just a reminder, each month on Communion Sunday, we take up a benevolence offering. The envelopes are in the pew racks in front of you. We really can take those up any time you want to offer them. And since we missed it this month, I call special attention to them. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we bring our tithes and offerings to your altar. As your followers have brought the loaves and fishes, bless them, multiply them, and share them that all may live and grow and be satisfied. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to invite the kids to come forward. Meet me down here. Got a bag with me today. Easter's coming. It is. It's coming quickly, isn't it? But did you know that during the Easter time, our Jewish friends also celebrate the Passover? And this is a very special time for them because God commanded them in the Old Testament to remember how He had helped them and brought them out of slavery in Egypt. And so when our Jewish friends have the Passover meal, it's very important because it reminds them of what God did for them. I brought some food that they have at a Passover meal. And the first one is matzah. Now, I broke these up. It usually comes in a square. I'm going to give you a piece so you can taste it. I'm sorry, I'll let you take your own out of there. Now, this is bread, but it's not like bread we're used to, is it? It's more like a cracker because this doesn't have any yeast or leaven in it. Now, you put yeast in bread to make it rise and be nice and fluffy. And if you've ever, made bread, you have to wait a while for that to happen. And so they have the unleavened bread to remind them that they didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise when they were going to get out of Egypt. So they made the bread without leavening or yeast in it. And this festival, it actually goes for 2 weeks, and Passover is part of it, is called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So they always have that at a Passover meal. And then they also have parsley. Here's a sprig of parsley. Now, we think of it as just a garnish on the side of the plate that we throw away and don't eat. But it really is a fresh spring herb, and it reminds us of growing and new life, and reminds us of God's freedom. And so that's why they have it at the Passover meal, because it reminds them that God gave them their freedom and kept them to be His people. They also have, now I couldn't get fresh horseradish, so I had to bring a jar out of my refrigerator, but usually they have a root of horseradish there. Now, I happen to love horseradish. I don't know if you've ever had it, but it can be very hot. Some isn't quite so hot, but you never know what jar is going to be hot. And they have that to remind them, because when you eat something like this, it kind of makes your eyes tear, and it reminds them of the weeping that they did while they were in slavery, but it also reminds them that God brought them out of that and wiped their tears away. So they always have horseradish at the Passover. Then they also have wine. Now, I didn't bring any wine with me today, but I have grape juice here. And when we have something like this, it's because we're celebrating, we're happy. And they celebrate because they had wine at the Passover to remind them of what God had done for them. And they celebrate that He's bringing them out of slavery. Now, I don't have the main course with me that they usually have. It's roast lamb, and I guess you can understand why I don't have that with me. But it's very important to have lamb at Passover, because if you remember the stories from Sunday school about when they were back in slavery, you know, and God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And you remember he went to him how many times? You know how many times? 10 times? 10 different times, and each time he said no, he wouldn't let him go. And then each time God sent some horrible thing on the people. Flies, frogs, locusts, boils, which are like blisters all over you, and still Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. And finally God said, okay, I'm going to send the angel of death. And he said, for those who take the blood of a lamb and put it over their doorposts, when the angel of death passes over, it will pass over those houses, and that they will not die. And then all the Israelites put the blood of the lamb. And that's where we get the word Passover from. And so they remember what God did for them. Now, you know that Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples the night before he was crucified. And so he took the bread and the cup, and he said, eat this and remember what I'm going to do for you, what by giving his life for us, that we, and so today we're going to be having communion, and we will have the bread and the cup. Today we are even going to have unleavened bread, for we don't usually, but today we're going to have unleavened bread and the cup as we remember what Jesus did for us. God saved the Israelites and brought them out of slavery, and God saves all of us now by Jesus' death. And that's what we remember at this time of year. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for your people in the past and what you do for us now. We thank you for Jesus being the final sacrificial lamb, and help us to remember what he did for each one of us to give us life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Turn in the black books, number 2071, the chorus, Jesus, Name Above All Names, a wonderful chorus, and it's short, so we're going to sing it through two times. 2071, Jesus, Name Above All Names.
Our scripture this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, may it be your words that come from my mouth and opened our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It all started on November 17, 1989, just 50 years to the day that Czech students had demonstrated to protest the Nazi occupation of Czechoslovakia. And on this 50th anniversary, students were again protesting an oppressive regime. Just 8 days before, the Berlin Wall had actually fallen. Students were out protesting, but they were doing it peacefully until it turned violent when they met a cordon of police. They began handing flowers out to the police and shouting rhythmically, "We have bare hands." But then the police took out their billy sticks and they began to beat the students. That domino began an avalanche for every day from then until the end of December. Protesters were out in the streets. On November 20th, 500,000 peaceful protesters were in the main city square. A general strike, 2-hour strike, took place on November 27th that involved all of the Czech citizens. And on November 28th, the Communist Party sensed defeat, and they gave up their monopoly on power in the Czech Republic. On December 29th, 1989, Václav Havel was elected the first president of a free Czechoslovakia since 1948. The students ended their strike, and what became known as the Velvet Revolution also ended. It was a rebellion based on righteous anger against something that was unjust. You listen to the passage that Pam just read to us from Mark. In verse 41, it says, Jesus was indignant. In other words, he was angry. We can find the same story in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, but they omit this word. In fact, they omit any sense of any motivating emotion on Jesus' part. Some translations use the word pity or compassion or deeply moved, because those words feel a little safer and they're more in keeping with the Jesus of love and kindness and meek and mildness. Those words make us feel safe. And the earlier manuscripts use the Greek word meaning angry. Jesus doesn't just feel pity or compassion for this man. He is angry. Now, anger is a good word here, because pity could become patronizing and compassion could be a little soft. But both words allow us good Christian people to feel superior. Because if we're required to get angry about disease or discrimination or isolation or injustice or oppression or racism or human trafficking or the homeless, then we have to get involved. It's the kind of anger that leads to a how could this happen?
Now, if you know anything about the, in the time of Jesus, lepers were absolutely untouchable. The law said you could get no closer than 4 cubits, which is about 6 feet, to a person with leprosy. And if a leper even put their head inside someone's house, that whole house would be declared unclean. It would have to be swept and cleaned and washed all the way up to the rafters. It was also illegal just to simply greet a leper on the street. One rabbi would not eat an egg that was bought on a street that a leper had passed by. And another rabbi bragged and boasted that he would fling stones at the lepers to keep them away from him so that he wouldn't be declared unclean. The law required lepers to wear their clothes torn and to have their hair unkept. And whenever they went wherever other people were, they would have to cover their upper lip and yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that people could scatter. They had to live alone outside of the community. So was Jesus angry that this man broke the law by approaching him? Because it would have definitely made Jesus unclean to be that close to a leper. Or was he offended by the way the man addressed him in kind of an arrogant or manipulating way? If you want to, you can make me clean. It's more likely that Jesus was angered by a system that forced this man and others to be shunned. He was punished not only by the purity codes, but by the belief that any disease was a curse that God put on someone because of their own sin. The social consequences of the disease were more deadly than the physical suffering and disfigurement. Now, Matthew and Luke state the details of this encounter, but Mark tells us the rest of the story. Jesus is angry against the system. He's angry against the authorities. He's angry against the priests for perpetuating a practice that lacked any kind of mercy. And with one compassionate touch, Jesus connects himself to the plight of that leper man. Jesus did what the priests could but would not do by treating the man as a human being. He didn't just pronounce physical healing, but he made him clean and restored him to true personhood, to his rightful place in the human race. Wasn't that what Jesus came to do? When the leper cried, "Make me clean," he wasn't just pleading to be physically healed. He was pleading to be allowed to come back and be in the community, to be fully human again. And whether he knew it or not, he was also pleading, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Not just someday, but today. Not only in heaven, but right here and now. And then Jesus sends the man away with a warning. And the Greek word that he uses for this stern warning is ekbalo, which was usually used when Jesus cast out a demon. Because Jesus is still angry at the arrogance of those who think they know what God demands. And so when he orders the man to go and show himself to the priest, he's not only acknowledging the sanctioned ritual that was required by law, but he was also challenging the religious authorities to see that God's healing grace is available to anyone who asks for it. A man walked into a gift shop one time, and right by the cash register were some baseball caps on display, and they had a logo that said WWJD. He didn't know what that stood for, so he asked the clerk. But she explained that it stood for "What Would Jesus Do?" and that it was to help people remember to stop and think about what Jesus would do and then emulate that. The man stood there for a moment and he said, "I'm pretty sure Jesus wouldn't pay $20 for one of those caps." But isn't that the question? What would Jesus do? The scripture shows us Jesus went against the grain on more than one occasion. He stood up and he spoke out against the unfair practices and attitudes of his day. Jesus was a rebel. But we don't hear that very often. Because the word rebel has negative connotations. You know, someone rebelling against society or rebelling against their parents or rebelling against God. We usually lump those all together and just say rebellion is wrong. So is it possible to be rebellious and be a Christian? I say yes. Look at the prophets in the Old Testament who spoke out against the injustice in their time, much to their own personal, against their own personal safety. And think about Jesus in the temple, throwing the money changers and overturning tables. We just talked about this in our Bible study. I mean, he really got active that day, throwing money around and throwing them out. He was rebelling against the unjust and unfair practices that prevented people from coming to God, from worshiping God. But he wasn't rebelling against God. He wasn't saying that the whole religious system was wrong. He was saying that there were flaws and problems that needed to be changed. Sometimes we as Christians are called to rebel. I don't mean to rebel against God, but to rebel against injustice, against that which is wrong. And sometimes we're even called to rebel against what others believe to be right. Because we're not called to do something because everyone else is doing it, but because we know that there is a more just way, a more fair way, a more Christ-like way. It's really obedience to God's will. Like John the Baptist or Elijah or the other prophets, like the disciples who wouldn't toe the party line. It's being a rebel with cause. So who do you know who's been abandoned or shunned by Christians or the church? Who are the people that we hold at a distance? Drug addicts? Welfare recipients? The homeless? Panhandlers? Those with AIDS, perhaps one who looks like a Muslim, people of color or homosexuals or the mentally ill or those in prison or those on parole or you name it. But perhaps it's not a person, but a situation or a challenge that we'd rather keep at a distance. An injustice that demands our action, but is muffled by inconvenience or fear. When all is said and done, Jesus' ministry was not about physical healing. It was and is about social healing, restoring people to their right relationship with God, with the community, and with the world. Jesus invites us, calls us, challenges us, demands us to take our understanding of restoration and use it in our society, in our world, in our lives. We are called to reach out and touch. But it isn't charity. It's justice. And justice is a higher standard. Justice always wants to hang out with equality. And equality can be a real pain sometimes. Pasha Zelenzhenko is a member of the First Baptist Church in Bryansk, Russia. And Pasha remembers an Easter baptism service when he was a little boy in 1978. That was when Russia was still under extreme communist oppression. That little church then did not have a baptistry. And so whenever people were ready to be baptized, they went down to the local river in town and did the baptisms there. And so he says he remembers the church coming out that Sunday morning, on Easter morning, and having a baptismal service. They gathered at the riverside. Now, it was springtime. The snows had melted, and there was mud there, and everybody was in their Easter finery. And just as they began to start the service, two busloads of drunk townspeople arrived with the police. They got off of the buses with their clubs and their bats, and they said, "You cannot have this service. You need to stop it right now." Well, the pastor had been sure to get all the permissions that were needed and all the permits, and he showed them the pieces of paper. And I'll tell you, I lived in a former communist country, and they love to put stamps and ribbons and all kinds of things to show you that you have the right papers. And he showed them. They said, "We don't care. You cannot go on with this." And then one of the babushkas in the church said, "We need to pray." Now, in that area of the world, when they pray in worship, in a meeting, they all kneel.
Now, they don't have nice little kneeling benches like we have in some churches that are padded. And I have been to the First Baptist Church of Briansk, and my knees can attest to the fact that we kneeled for almost 30 minutes on a cold, uneven cement floor. And so when she said, "Let's pray," they all knelt down in their Easter finery in the mud. And they began to pray. They prayed for God to be with them, to feel His presence, to keep them safe. The townspeople and the police all stood around quietly watching and listening. And when the prayer was over, they stood up and they began the baptism service. And then the townspeople began to beat the church members. And finally, the police arrested 6 of the deacons for inciting a riot. And they were in jail for 2 weeks. The pastor was imprisoned for 6 months, but all 16 of those people were baptized on that day, and the church continued to stand up to those who were oppressing them, and they are a vital church today in Briansk. In the Lenten devotional that we made available to you either online or in paper, this week you may have read it if you're following that Lenten devotional. It says this: Jesus was passionate about His task. He was filled to overflowing with compassion for those who didn't know God, those who were in slavery, those who were hungry, those who were trapped in life's problems, those who were sick, those who were oppressed, those who were totally without human hope. If compassion had meant to Jesus what it means to most Christians today, then Jesus would never have been killed. He would have been a fit candidate for a Nobel Prize, not the cross. The Sunday school Jesus confines him only to changing people's hearts, but the Jesus of the Gospels aimed at changing both human hearts and human society. We can be rebellious as long as the end result is to be more Christ-like, to co-create with God the kingdom of justice and peace in all its fullness here on earth. Sometimes it is necessary to be a rebel with cause. In doing so, we just might affect some righteous healing. And wouldn't that be great? Let's pray. Lord, You call us out of our comfortable lives to stand up and be the people that You want us to be, to follow Your example, to sometimes stand up for things that we know are wrong and even go against the grain. Help us, Lord, as we look into our community and we see those things that we might need to take that step of rebellion on. Give us the strength to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 499, "The Master Has Come." We are singing verses 1 and 3 as we prepare for our communion service. "The Master Has Come," 499.
Thank you.
You may be seated. The Master indeed has called us to be his people and to follow him. We've come to the table this morning, and in a few weeks we will be celebrating that first Passover on Maundy Thursday. But today we come to the table to remember what Jesus did for us, with the bread and the cup and what it symbolizes. Let us pray for those elements now. We come to this table, Lord, because you showed us your love for us by sending your Son to die. We come to the table, Lord, because of Jesus' willingness to drink that cup of suffering and death. We come because Jesus asked us to remember what he did. And we come to this table because he calls us to follow his example of being a servant. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon this table as we eat and drink. May we be filled with your presence. And may the Spirit moving among us allow this bread and cup to empower us as we go out to live your love in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are reminded that when Jesus ate the Passover meal with the disciples in the upper room, they took the bread, and when he blessed it, broke it, saying, "This is my body, this is broken for you."
That same Passover meal, Jesus took one of the cups and he said, "This is my blood shed for you." They were celebrating what God had done to save his people from slavery, and Jesus knew that the cross lay ahead. He knew what this was going to mean for him, but for all mankind. And he took the cup and he passed it among his friends. This one has a small one. God had made a covenant with his people many years before. And on that night, Jesus said, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood." He asked us to drink of it now. We sang a hymn before they went out to the Mount of Olives that night, and our tradition is to sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds," and form a fellowship circle around the sanctuary. So let's do that now and sing together. These words from Isaiah 61. God's Spirit is upon us because the Lord has anointed us. He has sent us to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for the captives and liberation for prisoners. We will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord to glorify himself. Lord, send us out today to be your rebels with cause. Help us to speak out when we know that there are wrongs being done, to stand up for what you call us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.